Would you turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6? Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, and by the way, the Old Testament has great value for the New Testament believer. Great value. Because the Old Testament is the types and shadows of the things to come. The New Testament is the fulfillment of all that. A little later in Hebrews, it talks about how the law and the prophets was a shadow of the things to come. Well, what does that mean? Well, when I go into a restaurant and I open up a menu and I see all those neat pictures of all that food, that's just a shadow of the thing to come. And not the real thing. I've never seen anybody put a knife and fork to that menu. Now, sometimes when you're in the restaurant and the real thing comes, you go, this is it. But not with the new covenant. Way better than the menu picture. Amen. So the old is a shadow. It's a foretelling of the thing to come. So in the old covenant, when they had the high priest, this truth never passed away as far as Father God concerned. It was necessary to have a high priest to represent, because the people of Israel were only as good as the high priest. That's why they put the high priest through all of the washings and all of this stuff, and he had to do everything just right. And tradition says when he went into the tabernacle, Holy of Holies, they tied a rope on him. Because if he wasn't perfect, he would die. And no one can go in and get him. Because they would die. So they pulled him out. Where'd we go wrong here? You understand that you cannot enter the presence of God in sin. Why? Because it will not allow you. Because if you did enter the presence of God, you would die. How many of you know in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God was? And God had given a way to carry this Ark from one place to another. Some know the story. They had to be on the poles, and they had to be carried, and they're taking the ark from one place to another, and one of the soldiers, the ark was going, and he thought he was doing a good thing. Watch that. So he goes to steady the ark, and he dies. Can you see for a moment what great thing the Lord Jesus has done for us? That we can actually enter in to a face-to-face relationship with Father God, where the door is open, where we can boldly go in. And watch this. And live. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Not because of our good works. That fellow thought he was doing a good work and it killed him. Brothers and sisters, we're saved for good works, not by them. not because of them.
You are God's workmanship created. He's designed you. He's designed you and given you everything necessary to fulfill the good work He prepared for you. Prepared for you to walk in. I found that really freeing. You know why? Because I didn't have to ever figure out a good work to do. Ever again. We don't have meetings in our churches figuring out what good thing to do. We need a program for this. We need to do this. No. We come together and we go, Lord, show us. Do you see the difference? People get all upset in churches and so forth and so on because they think we preach that you don't do any good works. When in fact, I have found in the churches that we have planted, that I've been associated with, that I have helped to strengthen, we do 10 times more good works than the person or the place or the outfit that's coming against us. Why? Because if you walk in the good work that God has prepared for you, there's guaranteed fruit. And that fruit not only will help in the temporal, where we live, but it will be eternal. I look at it this way. Father does know best. A lot more than me. Amen? Now, look at Hebrews again. And let's look at verse 7. Today, if you will hear His voice, first in hearing the voice of God. You see, we can't walk in the good work He has prepared for us unless we can hear His voice. If we're not hearing His voice, then we're going to make up stuff to do. And it's going to be fruitless. And it's going to lead us down to a path where struggling to get the finances to do it, struggling to find the people who are gifted to do it, struggling all the time to do it, to get it done. How many of you know that God does not call volunteers? This is not a kingdom of God principle. Volunteers is a world principle. Where does it say that God, oh, can I have a volunteer to go to the cross? And Jesus goes, I'll volunteer. No. Can I have a volunteer to take the children of Israel out of Egypt? And Moses jumps up and goes, I'll volunteer, God. No, He calls you. He anoints you. He gifts you. He prepares you. When a person has a volunteer mentality, it takes the devil a pebble to stop you. Not even anything tough. You stop the will of God from happening in your life probably in about an hour. I work with pastors all the time. They're so frustrated. Well, you know, we passed out the thing and asked for volunteers and 40 people signed up and 3 showed up. So they start calling people on the phone. Are you going to be there? You going to be there? Can you make it? Can you be there? What a trap. Bible says we're not to be ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. What an enemy trap this is, and it all starts with the idea that God does volunteers. This is a world thing. This is concocted by the god of this world, the devil. And then he infiltrates the church with it. Please, show me somewhere from Genesis to Revelation where God asked for a volunteer. Volunteer is a double-minded person. And a double-minded person receives nothing from the Lord. Never done volunteers. But we've never done anything that I remember where we didn't have enough laborers. Why is this so? Because this puts this in the category of where Jesus preached so much about whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. This is the only way that God cannot be partial, to let you make your mind up. Amen. To let you make the choice. God is always talking. His voice is always available. Will you hear it? Well, God wants to speak to me, he can speak to me. You're not going to hear anything. Some of you can get free from that right now and begin to hear. Okay? Because here's what the Lord is saying. Will you hear me? Well, what does that mean? Will I hear? I make a decision. I will hear from the Lord. I will hear his voice. Now, there's denominations that teach God does not speak anymore to people. Only the scripture. If you don't have a scripture for it. Now, anybody that knows and been around me knows this to me is the word of God. This is Jesus. This is our safety net. We must have this. However, in what verse of scripture do you find who you're supposed to marry if you're single? By the way, if you're already married, don't ask that question. But is there a chapter and verse for this? How about the job you're to take? How about where you're to live? How about what church you're supposed to be fitly joined? Show me chapter and verse. Not there, is it? This is the reason why Jesus paid the big, big, big price, so that we could have the Holy Spirit within us. Some people have asked me in the past, well, when you get up first thing in the morning, what do you do first thing in the morning? The first thing in the morning, I have one goal. I want to hear him. I'll go in and sit down and have a place where I go. And I'll wait, and I just say, Lord, I just want to hear from you. I don't go in with a list of stuff. However, I know that if I gave him a list of stuff, he would take care of it. But sometimes when you go in and you want to spend some time, you got something heavy on your heart. And what you need to is to hear his voice. With all the signs and wonders the children of Israel saw, of all the mightiness of God that he demonstrated And it was substantial. It didn't change them. It didn't bring them to a place where they heard the voice of God. Am I for the signs and wonders and want to see God move mightily? Yes, I do. Why? Because people need to be healed. They need to be free. They need to get free. They need to be healed. They need to walk in health. They need to be prosperous. How many of you know the world doesn't listen to poor people? And they ain't going to listen to a poor church. I got news for you. The only reason anybody listens to Donald Trump, and I'm not being political here, is because he's a billionaire. That's the only reason he got a platform. You've heard me tell about, I was maybe saved a year and a half at the time, back in the, like 1980-ish. And a young fella drives up in front of my house with a junk car that deserved to be towed away and crushed. I can't describe how bad it is. A big Jesus sticker on it. I went out there and said, get that thing out of here. You going to blame Jesus for that? Now let me ask you a question. Who would listen to him talk about Jesus? Any reasonable person, anybody who can think at all would say, you want me to accept this person so I can drive that? I'm going to give up my BMW to drive that? Think about it. I'm not talking about our relationship with God in this. I'm talking about the wisdom of God He gives us to reach people. Why do you think he picked Paul, who was a Roman citizen, in the natural? Because he knew he had to get him in front of Caesar. And the only way he would ever get an audience to Caesar was because he was a Roman citizen. As a matter of fact, the only reason they didn't kill him was he was a Roman citizen and he had rights. You think Father God didn't know that? That's why you don't take volunteers. You didn't say to Paul on the road to Damascus, would you like to volunteer for this? What's the reason why? Think about this. His will be done. Now, he's going to get his will done. The only issue is, are you going to be a part of it? Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. He does move on. What do you mean move on? I've asked the Lord. I've never got an answer to this. But I've asked him this for near 30 years. I might get an answer one day. Hey, I like to have little times of, let's talk it over with the Lord. How many people did you approach before Abraham and offer him a deal? Just because the Bible records Abraham as the one, you know, God lives a pretty long time. And it wasn't like the Lord woke up one day and God said, gee, I think I'll deal with Abraham. It could have easily been thousands of years that he went to people. And they came upon Abraham, who said, I'll do it. I'll leave. Can I
share a power principle with you right now? You must always leave before you can enter where God wants to bring you. And you don't know where you're going. That's faith. I have people all the time. No, I wouldn't dare. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know what God's going to do for me. You never can get into the promised land filled with milk and honey, the place of rest, until you're ready to leave where you're at. Not only did they not want to leave where they were at in the wilderness, they wanted to go back. I've had real live human being people talk to me this way. You know, it was better when I was unsaved. I'm like, you know, I try to maintain the poker face, but inside I'm like, wow, can't believe I'm hearing this. More than once. More than 20 times. What are they saying? It would be better if I was back in the world doing the job I was doing before. See, now that sounds the way I told it to you, that, oh, don't be sure that didn't get going through you sometimes, but only in a different way. And it's especially tempting to get into that mental attitude or to get into that when you're out there. Whoa, I can't see an open door. I can't see where I'm going. Wait a minute. I can't see how I'm going to make a living, so I better go back into the world. Now, if it's getting too heavy for you, throw your hands up and go, heavy, too heavy, and then we'll go to something, you know. If I ask this question, and I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands because I've asked this question multitude of times. How many of you are living in a wilderness experience as a believer? Most of the time, everyone raises their hand. Yeah. I'm like, oh. Only I don't do that. I do inside. Oh, Lord, where are we at here? Help me out. Because I don't expect that. The very best I've ever seen in the 100 times I've asked that question of born-again Christians loving Jesus, and I don't doubt they do love Him much as they're able. That's all God is asking, by the way. There's no standard. You love the Lord, that God, with all of your strength. Just because it's not as much as my strength, that is not the issue. You get that? Some of you need to get free from that. I'm not here to judge anybody and how much they love the Lord. You got to love Him the way I love Him. Nonsense. You start getting that mindset, you're going to run into about 5 people who really love the Lord, and you're going to see where you're at. He'll show you real quick. He was trying to show the rich young ruler, wasn't he? Son, you love money. You don't love the Lord God.
And he showed them. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Do you think he will show you when you get that way? Absolutely. And you know what it says at the very beginning before Jesus told him? It says Jesus loved him. And then said, the man wanted eternal life. He wanted heaven. He turned it down for money. He turned down knowing God, having a personal relationship with the God that created everything, a face-to-face. That's part of what eternal life is. Jesus said, what is eternal life? Knowing him who sent me. So that you can hear his voice. See, I'm actually sharing with you the fun part. To hear him. Today, if you will hear his voice, the first thing to hear the voice of God, you make a decision. I will hear him. God created us free, moral agents. You know, angels are too. That's why Satan got away with what he did when he was Lucifer. And God had to protect his right to do it. Because he's God and he doesn't break his word. Do you understand that? When Lucifer rebelled, he did it by choice. I will be like God. I will be higher than him. I will have everybody worship me. And then it said it was war in heaven. One day when that lightning hit, boom, like this, the Lord spoke to me and said, that's how long the war in heaven lasted. As long as it took me to send him to earth like lightning. Jesus said, I saw Satan cast out like what?
Lightning.
Lightning. Half a second? The first deception that Satan's in is he thinks he can beat God. That's, on the face of it, ridiculous. I mean, come on. Talk about believing a lie. If you will hear, then it goes on to say this, do not harden your heart. What is he saying? Believe it. Believe it. What's a hard heart? A heart becomes hard through unbelief. I remember ministering to a 70-ish year old, late 70s man in the hospital years ago. It's one of the things the Lord told me was do hospital visitations. So I started doing that. And I'm talking to this fella about receiving Jesus. I can't get anywhere with him, and he's like diagnosed to die in 3 weeks. Terminal. I was going into the terminal wing. And I've shared the story of how I got in there, but suffice it to say, when I tried to do what the Lord told me on my own instead of his way, I couldn't get through the front door of that hospital
But when I got into church that he wanted us in, I just flashed that card and they said, come on in. God'll get it done for you if you believe him. Gets harder when you're trying to hear him and then you do it. That's called flesh. Abraham was going to have a child without the Lord. And there they are today. ISIS, all of them, persecuting Israel. I can show them for $4.95 Bible what's going on. Because it says in the Word that Ishmael will persecute Isaac. No mystery there. They don't even know why they hate Israel. They don't. The worst thing about flesh is that whenever you get over into the flesh, the worst thing can happen to you is it will work. Because then you're stuck with it. What is that being in the flesh? I'm doing something without the leading of the Spirit of God. And no flesh shall be justified before the Lord. Whatever's not of faith is sin. You cannot be moving in faith until you hear the voice of God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Whatever does not originate with God is sin in our life. Well, I don't know if I like it that way. Let me suggest something to you. Like it. Because Father still knows best. Years ago, I watched that program all the time. I really liked it. For once, they proved the Father knows best. Amen. Like it. But again, it comes down to whosoever will. Whosoever will. If you will to go do your thing, God doesn't send an army after you. He doesn't chase you down and say, sickness on you. Then put you in an accident. He doesn't do those things. How many have children? Would you do it to your child? I don't want to get too personal here. Did she ever not do what you told her? See, we have 6 children. They're up out on their own. But I can assure you, every single one of them didn't do what we told them more than once. But there was always a seated table for dinner. They were always still right with us. Because they were ours. They were always accepted by us. Now, why would that be any different with Father God? And Jesus called us evil as parents. You being evil, how much more will the Father? Amen. This hard heart thing is an issue. So I'm talking to this fella, and he will not acknowledge, he won't hear, he won't receive. I'm like, what is going on? This man's going to die in 3 weeks or less. He is going to hell. And he even knows it.
That man never did pray with me. I don't know if in the 3 weeks, God doesn't give up. I don't know. I walked out of that room and I said, Lord, what is going on? Because in my mind, this is how our mind can reason, I thought that that man of anybody would be so willing to hear. Wouldn't you think that? Because he would have every reason to go for it, right? Of course, I learned it's the opposite. Children receive Jesus much easier than the 50 and over crowd. And the Lord showed me. He said, son, that man's had 37 opportunities to receive Jesus. And every time he didn't believe and rejected it, his heart got harder and harder and harder. God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart. It hardened because he kept on rejecting what God was telling him. Let him go. And the Lord kept at it until finally it cost Pharaoh big, including his whole army getting drowned in the Red Sea. By the way, let me throw this in. No, they didn't pass over on 6 inches of water. It was actually parted, because what army is going to drown in 6 inches of water? I've heard that. It's just like, come on. Not that it's a big deal. Your salvation isn't dependent on it. But that's what unbelief will do. It will give you even things that make no sense. And they'll fight for that. You understand? And argue over it. Simply for the fact they didn't believe that God parted 50 feet of water to get them out. And in the end, Moses couldn't take them into the promised land either. And the scripture declares very clearly why. And I've heard a lot of different teaching on it. It's this simple. Moses, I can't have you take them in because of your unbelief. He told him to speak to the rock to get the water. And he was a traditionalist. He whacked it because it worked before. Now, God's very practical. He has a practical side. Where did he want to get the children of Israel? Into the promised land. And he was still going to get it done. It just happened to be another generation with a different leader. Because Moses would not have been able to bring them in because of his unbelief. So he took Joshua, who for 40 years maintained the good confession. Did you hear that? With nothing wavering. Him and Caleb, for 40 years. God has given us the land, and we're well able to take it. Voice of God. Have a tender heart toward the voice. Have a heart that receives. God's eyes go to and fro the earth, seeking those whose hearts are loyal to him, that he may strongly support them. What is a heart that's loyal to him? I hear and I follow. O Lord. I don't want any hardness of heart. Now, Jeremiah says, is not the word of God like a hammer? Will it not break? Can you see why the enemy's attack is to keep people away from the word? It's everything. And the word of God comes in several ways. In the coming weeks, I'm going to go over the different ways that God talks. That you can be thoroughly confident that it is the Lord. See, I believe that's where the heart of most people who have received Jesus, Lord and Savior, and they're truly born again. Because the truly born again person, where the divine nature of God has been imparted to them from above, is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And that new creation wants to know the will of God more than anything else for them. It's there. Now, that's great that it's there. Now we come to this revelation. I've got to learn. As I mentioned before, when she was 3 months old, did you ever question whether she could talk? Did you ever question whether she could hear? Did you ever question that she'll walk? But she had to learn. The born-again believer, there's no question. God has put in you ears to hear. Right from the start. You say, I have ears to hear. I have ears to hear the voice of the Lord. But what happens? Instead of the teaching and the learning, we get around things like, well, God stopped talking. If you don't have chapter and verse, that's the only way that, you know, you're going to know. I said to one pastor, I said, if it's only by chapter and verse and you are a pastor now, was it really the will of God for you to be a pastor? Well, yeah. I said, well, show me the chapter and verse where he told you. It was about this quiet. See how foolish that is? How is it the most important thing in our life, the most important thing in our life is our personal relationship with the Lord, and we're saying he don't talk to us? Is your relationship with your wife important? Just go about a week and don't talk to her. You know what she's going to say? What is the matter with you? Well, nothing matter with me, Rose. I don't talk. All through the Bible, the Lord spoke. Now all of a sudden, he doesn't. When Jesus went to the cross, so we would hear his voice. I talked to the pastor. We went to a pastor's gathering in New York City, and they did it around the financial district where the World Trade Center was. And there's a church there.
and talk to the pastor of that church for a few minutes. And he said at least 40 people in his congregation work at the World Trade Center. He said not one of them lost their life because every one of them heard the voice of God say don't go in one way or another. And they testified to it. The church was there at the financial center because so many people work there. They heard the Lord say, don't go in the building. So they didn't. Now, there were Christians who lost their life in there. But they didn't hear the voice. And I'll tell you a big reason, and I know the pastor well enough to know, he taught them how to hear. Because you and I, we have to learn how to hear it. Now, how funny would it be if Priscilla called me on the phone, and how many of you would believe this conversation? Ring, ring, hello. And she would speak, and I would go, who are you? Pastor George, when's the last time you asked Sandy who she was when she called you? 30 years ago, maybe? Maybe you were dating. Probably never. Why? Because you got to know her voice. And you've all experienced this. But it takes a while, doesn't it? Before you know. I've heard other responses. Uh-oh, it's my wife. But he still knew it. See? No question on that at all. I didn't go, are you sure it's her? No, I was absolutely convinced he was right. Same thing. Same thing. You learn and you go along and you just begin to know his voice. Now, let me give you, I'm going to plant a seed for this. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 with me. We're going to begin to get into it next week. Brothers and sisters, the pastor in New York, God used to save their lives and relieve them from all the sorrow of their family and all of it. Amen? Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. That's another whole teaching we're going on. This is Adam and Eve after they sinned. Okay? And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. First, the word sound is actually in the Hebrew, voice. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Interesting how translators are, but if you study that out in the Hebrew, cool, the cool of the day, okay, you'll find out it means spirit. That God was walking in the garden in the spirit that day. God is a
Spirit. So Adam and Eve, when they fellowship with God, it was His voice that represented His presence. He wasn't there in bodily form. Later on, the Word of God says, no one's ever seen God and lived. Moses wanted to see, and he said, best I can do is I'm going to pass by and you look at my back parts. What was he saying? He wasn't talking about doing this and you're looking at his back parts. He was talking about he's passing by and you can see the glory following him. Okay? I thought that'd be interesting anyway. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, I hid myself. Number one reason for not hearing the voice of God, fear. Fear. Why do you think the Lord in His Word is so adamant about us being free from fear? Fear is not of Him. See? Adam's faith got perverted to fear. How many of you ever felt fear in your body? I have. The fear can get so intense it paralyzes a person. The fear can be so intense it stops their heart. How many of you understand? You can come to a place where you can feel faith just as powerfully. The reason why we feel the fear is because we're so practiced and perfected in it. Ministered to me as a child. It was all, get down from there. I'm afraid you're going to fall. Fear will always keep you from success. You won't try it. You won't risk it. You won't do it. Fear is what keeps people from, as George mentioned, tithes and offerings. Well, if I do that, I'm afraid I won't have enough. You don't have to feel fear to be making a decision based on fear. And that's where the tough part is. And without the Spirit of God to identify for us, it gets hard. You understand? We base decisions on fear, and it's not feeling it. We think if we're not feeling it, the spirit of fear is not involved. Wrong. That's the toughest part. Now let me leave with you this morning. Until, we're going to build on this, until you come to the place where you know and that you believe in the love of God for you, you'll always be dealing with fear. Perfect love casts out all. Now, we've been taught, bless their hearts, you got to love God. You got to love God. You got to love God. So we have like 40 years
And who knows the hours and the time spent being told you've got to love God. And we've had this much. God loves us. But yet the scripture says this. We love him because he first loved us. You know the most pressing need in the body of Christ to hear the voice of God is to never doubt the love of God for you. And the love of God for us is never based on our circumstance.
Amen.
Well, you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. God loves you. And here's the amazing part how enemy works. See, we're not to be ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. Don't let him sell you that one. I remember when I first started learning, he came and goes, not too good to know about the devil. I almost bought it. Except I had word. We're not to be ignorant of the schemes. So, all of a sudden, after you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, divine nature of God, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, all of this good stuff's happened to you, the enemy comes along to try to convince you how much he doesn't love you. When, in fact, you're better off now than the wretch you were before.
Amen.
The devil never came along then and said, God doesn't love you. So all of a sudden we're sitting there thinking God loves us less after we receive Jesus than he did before. See, I've said this a lot. See, if we're left alone and there's no enemy, we come up with a lot better conclusions. You got to get help to come up with that from the liar. Think about it. While we were yet enemies to God, Jesus died for us. Now all of a sudden, we're friends, we're reconciled, and all of that, and God don't love us so much. Come on. Amen. John said, I know and I believe the love God has for me. Do you? How many? Do you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now and I come against every obstacle, every lie in any of us that would hinder our knowing and believing the love that God has for us. And Father, we declare we walk by faith and not by sight.